Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, with the help of the Lord, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Christ's Ministry to His Own, and we will consider it as taught in the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles near at hand, we will be soon reading in the second chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Now, this is a rundown on the topics that we will be considering. Christ's ministry to His own. He ministers to us as our captain, as our deliverer, as our apostle, as our high priest, as our sacrifice, as the new and living way, our goal, our example, our mediator, our companion, our helper, our great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, you'll notice that I read it to you, 12 titles. We're going to cover those 12 titles in 6 broadcasts, and we will relate the 2 titles together. The captain and the deliverer are related together. You'll see that in the study. Our apostle and high priest is linked together in his ministry to us. Our sacrifice in the new and living way, by the reason of his sacrifice, we do have a new access into the presence of God. Now, as our goal, He is our example. As our mediator, He is our companion. As our helper, He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, we will begin reading, first of all, and cover the subject, first in this broadcast, our captain and deliverer, as it is given to us in the second chapter of Hebrews. And there we will see, in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now here we have the title, the captain. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now here in this last verse, we see him as the deliverer. He delivers us from the fear of death in which we are in lifetime in bondage to the law of God, the holiness of God. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took upon him not the care of angels, but the care of Abraham and his seed, and I may add his spiritual seed as well. Now let's go into this subject. If Christ is our captain, we are the soldiers, right? That is exactly true. Paul, in writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, he calls him his son. In chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 3, Paul admonishes Timothy, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't have it easy. Sometimes they give their lives. Our captain gave his life. He did not send us into the greatest battle that was ever fought in all the universe, that of Satan and his angels, aligned against Christ on the cross of Calvary. He did not indeed send us into that battle. Our captain went into the battle for us, the soldiers. Now, we have a battle to fight too. Paul tells Timothy that. We'll read more about that later in the scriptures. You and I are in this battle, and the fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array. We don't sing that old hymn much now, but we're in a fight. And that fight is led by our captain, our leader. Now, we know that that life is a hard life. We have enemies. We will be reading about them in just a few moments. We are the soldiers. Christ is the captain. And now he knows how to direct us because he was made perfect through those sufferings. We have confidence in Christ that as a soldier, he was our leader. And he can teach us and he can encourage us. And many of the people of God have become martyrs in this battle. It has been told us by sacred history, not scriptural history, sacred history, it's been preserved, that all of the 12 apostles died as martyrs, with the possible exception of John the Apostle. Now, we must remember, this is dangerous, but we have a leader. Now, in this day and age, we don't see so many martyrs, but they did in the first few centuries. People died for their faith, and then the church was strong. Now, when Christ went to the cross to battle with Satan, what was he fighting about? Well, I'll tell you what he was fighting about. He was fighting about the fact that he gave himself for you and for me to deliver us from our sins. We'll get to that moment. We'll develop it a little more thoroughly in just a few moments. Now, Satan engineered his own defeat at the cross. It was Satan who tempted Judas Iscariot to betray Christ into the hands of the Jews. He knew very well they would demand his death, and they did demand his death. And when Pilate, his judge, asked them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which he declared innocent?" they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now, Satan thought that if he would get Christ on that cross and die, that he would win that battle. And oh, how wrong he was. He engineered his own defeat. It's true. Christ died for you. He died for me. He slew death by dying on that cross. And Satan engineered it, and he caused his own defeat. We read here, down farther, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of himself, took part of it the same," that is himself, "likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. You know, the devil was so arrogant that he thought that if Christ went into death, he couldn't come out. But Christ slew death by dying. He conquered by stooping, because he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Satan didn't anticipate that, and he caused his own defeat. Let's go into the fact that he is our deliverer. Now, farther down we read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil." The devil has no more claim on. He can make it rough for us. But we have died in Christ. Christ died our death on that cross, and we go free. Now go on, verse 15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, as a man, he could not die. As God, rather, he could not die. But as a man, he could die. And our sins demanded death. We read in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine, the Lord says, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Romans 6 and 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death." When we sin against God, death is the penalty. But Christ died the death. He paid the penalty to deliver us from Satan, who had the power of death, to deliver us from the consequences of our sins. Now, his death completely satisfied the claims of God against us. When Christ was on that cross, God laid our sins on Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, this wonderful verse: "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then we read in Romans 6 and 23, we just read it, quoted it: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." To sin is to die. But God did not want us separated from him, so he gave his Son to die our death, if you please. Now, he is our deliverer, in that he delivers us from the fear of death, the consequences of death, the eternal consequences of death, by dying our death. Now, how do we know that the death of Christ on that cross saved us from our sins? We read in Romans 5 and 6 there, "For when we were that without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." How do we know that his death was accepted? I don't know whether you've ever thought of it this way before, but we know that his death for our sins was accepted in that after he died on that cross, God raised him from the dead and took him back to heaven. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, Isaiah 53 tells us that all our iniquities were laid on Christ. Now, if one of my sins were so bad, so heinous, that Christ's death didn't put it away, could he take that sin back into that holy place of heaven? Of course not. Resurrection of Christ is proof positive that our sins are gone, that God was satisfied with the death of Christ on that cross for me. It was God who raised him from the dead. God is satisfied with the work of Christ. And if God is satisfied that all my sins are gone, are you going to raise any question about it? I'm not going to raise any question about it. I'm going to accept God's settlement of it. He gave him to die for me, and God raised him from the dead. All my sins were placed on Christ, and I've got good news if you don't know it. Many of you do know it. Thank God for that. But if you don't know it, your sins were there too. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, he died for my sins, and he entered into heaven as proof positive those sins are gone. The matter is settled. All you have to do is receive it as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know how to receive a gift? Isn't it simple? Just receive it, believe it. Do you believe that God is tricking you, holding out salvation with one hand and something else with another, a lie? No, never. Simply receive the gift and rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have blessed this new series of studies and make it of eternal benefit to us. In Christ's name, amen.